Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
All right, our assignment from yesterday. No one should be ashamed to admit they are wrong, which is but saying, in other words, that they are wiser today than they were yesterday. We don't have to wait a whole day to realize how much we've seen and learned, do we? When we're paying attention, wisdom, guidance, and clarity are dropping in moment by moment. We often hear ourselves remarking along the lines of, huh, I never knew that, never saw that, didn't realize that. When we consider that every split second of life is utterly brand new, we're not likely to be surprised that we're encountering things that are new to us. Today, let any conditioned habits of looking for wrong / mistakes remind you how much wiser you're becoming, and then enjoy a celebratory RL. All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? First caller?
Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Hi. I, my apologies. I put myself on mute and didn't realize.
I do that with great frequency. It's the price we pay for being conscientious.
I'm happy to be in good company. This is Paula from Charleston.
Hey, Paula.
Hey. As I was listening to the quote and the commentary, I thought I jotted down, well, there is nothing wrong. That just felt like, wow, that's just a good reminder that there really is nothing wrong, and whatever is going on in life at any given time, it just is, it is
here for our awakening.
Pardon?
Here for our awakening.
Yes.
Whatever
yes.
is going on, it's here. Last night on Good News Update, Jen and Judy were talking about the New Year's retreat. And in the course of the conversation, Judy said, you know, there's nothing wrong, and we can't make mistakes. So why not give this basically waking up and ending suffering thing a shot? What can get in our way? If we know there's nothing wrong and we can't make a mistake, then let's get out there and just do whatever life calls us to do. Pay attention.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, and I missed the radio show last night, which is really very unusual because I routinely listen every week, and yet last evening being Halloween, I had unexpected house full of kids and company. And it was fun, but I didn't make the radio show last evening, so I have that on my radar to listen to last night's show.
Listen to the recording. Uh huh. Yeah. So,
and I don't know how this relates to the. I mean, there's always some way to relate whatever's going on with the quotes and the commentary, and what I've been looking at lately, I heard this through some other thread recently, is about memories being so, cheating ego. And
useful.
That, yes, and it was so helpful because for years, probably since I was in my early 20s, I'd have times of waking up in the usually 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and be flooded with traumatic memories. Mm-hmm. And that happened again recently. And I just, I immediately turned my attention to the mentor. And what I heard was like, memories are so unreliable. And,
yes.
And I thought that was just a gift to drop in to remind me of how those memories that feel so real, like I'm right back in those experiences. And it's come up a number of times. It seems like it's a piece of karma that is ready to unravel. And, of course, I felt like it seems like many times over the last 45 years, I thought this is unraveling now, never to have to deal with it again. And then it shows up, and it's another piece.
Well, yes, and that's how karma maintains itself.
Uh-huh.
Right? So memories, yes, we would all be well served just to drop them completely, because mm-hmm. whatever that's about has nothing to do with you, right? You've lived decades since that happened, mm-hmm. and the person you are now has nothing to do with that person who had whatever experience they had, and we have no idea what experience she had. Because there's nobody around to tell us. What will tell us has an investment in it being something very different than it was. That person has been left behind, right? So she can't tell the story. And the whole thing is just there to make us miserable. And, you know, this is not just that wacko Buddhism thing. There's a lot of research to back this up, that what happens in the situation is not something that a person is clear about, because almost nobody is present. So it's egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, having an experience, and then recalling the experience, interpreting it, projecting through it, and then add a few decades of that going on, and we get to a place of, oh, unreliable probably doesn't even come close to describe what's going on. So, you know, we could, as soon as we know that, and we know that that's how karma maintains itself, by getting a person to believe, oh, yeah, that happened to me, and it was awful, and it's terrible, and I have to be really careful because those kinds of things could happen again, and what this means about me and life and the world, and, you know, that whole thing is wonderful for ego, but it's certainly not good for freedom. And so if we realize, that could be a story I saw on television, read in the book, somebody else told me, it doesn't have anything to do with me, I'm going to get back here, and as you pointed out, get in a conversation with the mentor.
Yes. Yeah. That's what a blessed gift to have the power tool of, you know, recording and listening as a way of getting back to the mentor. But also, you know, I've done it long enough now, not that I still record and listen every day, but in the middle of the night, I can just simply turn my attention to shift my attention to what would the mentor say. And it drops, something drops in that's, you know, I think this is profound.
Yes, although, of course, you know me, I would never encourage people to drop recording and listening in favor of, because we've had way, way too many reports of conditioning just sliding in, and now I know what the mentor is going to say, and so I don't really need to bring attention to that. I can just shift my attention, know what the mentor would say, and then in a very short period of time, of course, I'm right back in conditioning land and may not know it. So that's, you know, just a little encouragement to anybody. I think we could say I came up with this whole thing, right?
Yeah.
And I record and listen all the time.
Yeah.
So I think if anybody were going to get to the point of, okay, I got it. I got that nailed. You know, that would be me. And all I want to do with it is more of it, because it is the best way, as you know, not what I'm going to say, for us never to lose sight of presence.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To stay in presence all the time, not just be able to come back to presence when we get in trouble. So, yeah.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with that, Sherry, and that brought me back just briefly to wrap this up where it really fits into the commentary on the quote today, and that is that, you know, oh, I never knew that, and I saw that, I didn't realize that, and when we consider that every split second of life is utterly brand new, we're just not surprised, and I think of the 20 years I spent in therapy and hospitals and taking medications and being encouraged to, you got to look at this. You got to understand it, know it, realize it, find the meaning in it, why it happened, how you know, what was your part, what was other people's parts. And,
such a load of horse bucky.
Yeah. And it's such a delight. I had a conversation recently with a couple of dear friends, and just reporting what had happened from such a totally neutral place meant nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
just an experience described. And it felt like tremendous freedom. And I feel like that's, wow, that knot in the tapestry of my life is finally loose.
Well, of course, it's one of those, we get wiser every day, huh? So
yes,
every day we go through what we go through, and we get to a place of greater freedom and clarity. So, yeah. All right.
Thank you so much.
You.
Okay. Take good care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Paula. Sherry, well, let's hear from our next caller.
Okay.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, this is Marianne calling from Vancouver, Canada.
Well, hello, Marianne.
All of a sudden, I sound like I have an American accent.
Oh, well, I know a lot of people think that's not a good thing, but I don't think that. I think you sound fine.
Anyways, good morning. So I guess what comes up for me around making mistakes is being kind of a number one Enneagram person who has to always get it right. It really
painful,
Oh, it's so painful when I get it in my mind or ego says, oh, you got it wrong. But sometimes I am wrong, and I just had the experience of being so wrong as to see ego come and grab me around the neck and allow anger to arise and boil over at a couple of people, and I felt terrible, but then, I could see.
Did you learn something, Marianne?
Did you see something? Oh, yeah, I could, because I actually even felt
Are you clearer
moment,
today?
I felt the moment of when ego, I could have switched ego off, and I was right there with my finger on the switch, but ego didn't let me put my finger on the switch. So anyways, I saw that. And so then I recognized that, I could see why ego was thinking that I owned this parking spot and nobody else should park in it. Anyways, I actually was able then to go and say to these people, I'm sorry I lost it. And it was it turned out really nice. I had very, very sweet interactions with both of the people who had been on the receiving end of my anger. And so I learned about,
a lot.
I learned a lot, yeah. I learned, okay, I can see it coming. The next time when that happens, I am going to be closer to putting my foot on the brake and stopping it.
That's right.
And
that's
I also learned that it is okay to say you're sorry. That, you know, people appreciate it.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you could even, if you, you know, if you didn't mind the convincing them even further that you're a crazy person, you could say, you know, I just got completely taken over by an ego onslaught, and I became temporarily insane, as you perhaps noticed, right? And, you know, it's something everybody can relate to.
Right? Yeah.
And so why do we go around hiding ego? That's what we're doing, right? Pretending that ego isn't doing what it's doing. Instead, just out it. Just there it is. Yep, it took over. I went completely unconscious and crazed. I'm back now. I'm more determined than ever to stay present so that that kind of thing doesn't happen. So, yeah.
Anyways, yeah, now I have two things. I catch it sooner. And if it slips through, I own it as ego. Yeah, great.
That's right. That's right. You're the one who is gaining clarity.
Yeah.
You don't have to feel bad about what ego does. We get bamboozled about whatever it is until we don't. That's just how it is. There's no reason. I mean, yes, you can apologize. Yes, it strengthens our determination to stay present, right, which you've got. You know, I know if I go unconscious, I'm going to override that, put your foot on the brake, don't do this, you don't have to go there. I'm going to do that again. And so I really want to stay present and conscious. There. All that energy gets turned into determination instead
yes.
of being bad.
Yeah, and because it is part of my daily recollection not to be angry, it's just another kind of way of keeping a commitment to myself.
Yes. And I need to point out something there, okay? It says not to be angry. It doesn't say don't get angry.
Okay.
Yep, and that's one of the places where ego can get people, right? So it turns it into, oh, you broke a precept. Oh, my God, the Buddha's going to be upset with you. When that precept to me is really pointing at is don't go down that road of repressing emotion that gets turned into resentment and anger so that you're walking around just in a pig pen state of irritation all the time. You're just one big load of bad energy that never acts out, right? So ego will give you big points because you don't act out like those crazy people, right? You just walk around in a state of hatred. I think that's what the precept is encouraging us to see and see through.
Well, I just learned so much more just by phoning in and talking to you. So.
See there? let's do this again, shall we?
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Right. Thank you, Marianne.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Yesho.
Thank you, Marianne. You know, Sherry, the more we practice, it seems that the more every unfolding is just simply that.
An unfolding.
Yeah, and as you said, if we learn something, then that is intelligence awakening to itself.
Yes, and the beauty of that is, so we use the word learn in a very different way than it's usually used, right? Because we don't learn anything that we can apply to something else. That's not what we're learning. We're learning to be present. We're learning to be grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Learning to receive also, I think.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Oh,
they're
okay.
Unmuting. I can feel it.
Next caller, you're now live on the air.
Oh, hi, Isotta speaking. I'm so glad to be on.
Hello,
can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi. Oh, I'm so glad to be on because I could so relate to this last conversation about anger, because one of the battering cycles that that I'm now just learning not to engage in is the being angry or even only getting angry, you know. I still get very angry a lot of time, you know, also because in my culture we are not really trained to refrain from getting angry. So I live in a different culture than mine, and I offend a lot of people who are not used that other people scream, you know. While Italy is much more, well, at least is much more accepted. So it's really,
yes. Well,
it's really interesting.
If I may, I want to ask you about something that I think is true. And you can confirm or deny this. To me, what in Italian culture, there isn't such a focus on labels, right? There's passionate expression, but it doesn't. The point is not determining what the label is, so that you're judged as wrong or bad for having expressed that particular label. So we could be passionately screaming and yelling at each other, and it wouldn't be the same thing, as you point out in your current culture, where screaming and yelling at people really does only mean one thing. In other words, we could do it. We're in Italy. We could do it, and then it would be over. All we're doing is what we're doing. Yeah. But in other cultures, there's a tendency, it means something. And so there's holding on to it, and there's resentment and hard feelings and grudges and blame. And is that so, or did I make all that up?
I have the same impression. I don't know. I mean, surely in my environment growing up with my friends and my family, there was absolutely no label against raising, like, don't raise your voice. I never heard anybody tell to somebody else, don't raise your voice. It was normal that people raised their voice, you know, when they were passionate about something. So is this what you were talking about? Is it what you were saying?
Yes.
I guess so.
And then
maybe
other
people had different experience.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's wrong to raise your voice, yeah.
Yes.
No matter how excited you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because I had a super big quarrel at work last week with a customer, and I was unfortunately I lost it, and I was screaming at him. But I was not screaming like, "What did you do, you idiot?" I was screaming, "Oh my God, what happens just makes me feel so frustrated." But I was screaming like crazy this because I just lost it. And the guy freaked out, you know, and called my colleagues, and it was a super big disaster, and was telling to my colleague, to my business partners, that I had insulted him. While I was sure that in no moment I said anything against him, I was just screaming about how frustrated I was, you know?
Yeah.
But yep. So it was, but the question I have, the thing that you were talking about with the previous customer, this is why. With the previous caller that I found so interesting about the learning is that, well, I really want to learn to to manage this thing more skillfully, because I live in this culture and I don't want to offend people, you know. And I was, and what dropped in listening to you is the difference between learning, like reading about how to ride a bicycle, and learning like riding a bicycle. And that one couldn't describe how they ride a bicycle. They just learn it, you know. So I want to learn to know how this anger arises and what is a better way to manage it without insulting customer or making them feel insulted. Yes. But well, I know that it's something I can learn it just doing it. Mm-hmm.
That, well, and there are a couple of things to me about it. One is what you describe, you know, you could call it anger if you wanted to, but what you described was frustration. That's the word that you used. You were frustrated that you couldn't make something happen or get something done, or whatever it was. You were frustrated. You were thwarted. Okay? So to look at that process, to watch that process is one piece of it. Not because if you go down the anger, if you get into that label, I think it's going to be a much more complex, multi-layered exploration. So do frustration first, and then tackle a larger set of behaviors called anger, okay, reactions and behaviors.
Uh-huh.
The second part of that that I think is important is that you realize that what you want to do is be more skillful. The difference there, the huge difference for all of us practicing awareness, is if it's anger and you're not supposed to be angry, you are a bad person, right? You've done it wrong, you blew it, you lost it, all those kinds of things. If you want to be more skillful, you can separate more easily, I think, the energy that you're feeling from the behavior. So a bunch of energy is building in your body as you get frustrated, as you're thwarted. There's that energy. How do you want to use it? Rather than, I'm angry, there's all this energy, I'm going to go unconscious, act out, and feel bad.
Exactly. So the thing I'm training, well, apart that it's great to call it frustration, it limits it makes it easier to work with it. But the thing I'm training is exactly being present in that moment when the energy is building and not disappearing, because what has been happening so far is that I'm present up to a point, and then where I go, and I start screaming, you know?
That's right. And so if we take all the bad wrong out of it, and all this is an experiment in how this works so that you can be more skillful in the use of life force, right? So again, I was saying this, I think, yesterday. First there's movement. This is in when you're falling dive, okay? First there's movement, then there's sensation. We have a label, thought about it, an emotional reaction, and a conditioned behavior. And what happens to us is ego just grabs us. We go unconscious and race through that and get to the act out, go crazy, feel bad stage, right? And what we're doing instead is breaking those apart. So you're going to be watching the sensations in your body. There's all that energy building. You're going to be watching the sensations. You're going to watch how they get labeled, and that means something. And, in fact, they're just sensations. You'll watch how you're conditioned to have an emotional reaction to that. It should be different. Oh, my God, I'm going crazy. I hate him. Whatever it is. And then a behavior that goes with that. I need to start screaming. Otherwise, I'm going to lose my mind. And you're going to start breaking those things apart into the discrete little activities that they are so that you don't just get run through from somebody's not doing what I want, I have to start screaming. Okay?
Oh, yes, I'm going to practice with it. I could see so much, but the time is over. But I'm going to practice with it and report back because it was
good.
It was super, super perfect. That I could totally recognize what you're talking about. Thank you, thank you,
excellent.
Thank you so much.
I can't wait to hear how it goes. Thank you, Itzota.
Bye-bye. Gassho.
Gassho.
Thank you, Itzota. The assignment, right, Sherry, that we haven't seen something before and we see it so clearly now. And we see it so clearly now and then we get clearer about it. And that's really what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, awareness practice.
Exactly.
It's right here. It's right here in the name.
Well, and it brings us to the end of the show and to our assignment for today, which is fabulously apropos. Success is going from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm. What might life be like had we been encouraged to see it as a growing learning process rather than a win-lose contest? With attention on the magic of each moment unfolding, there's nothing left over to hold opinions about how things should go or how things went. There's just now, without comparison to an imaginary way it should be. Our success lies in our ability to be present to what is, which comes down to losing interest in an illusion of a self separate from life that could succeed or fail. Today, celebrate realizing success and failure is just another artificial duality in conditioned mind, feeding an imaginary ego. Record and listen.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is a good follow-up, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Ashwini, and thank you to
everybody.
Talk to you
soon. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. Bye-bye.